battle with God, you have victory against all odds. With God, victory against all odds. You can be seated. I believe that God delights in bad odds. I believe that God delights in being the long shot. You say, well, why, Pastor? Because then it is obvious that God, only God, could have pulled off the situation. The more unlikely the situation, if we pray, the better God likes it. God likes to show his hand, but he won't do it unless we step out and depend on God to come through in order so we can have success. God likes the come from behind position. When you look in the Word of God, you see Samson versus 1,000 Philistines. You see Gideon's 300 men against 120,000 Midianites. You see Elijah versus Ahab, 450 prophets, millions of Israelites. You see a shepherd boy, approximately 5.5 feet tall, against a 9.9 martial arts champion Philistine giant. Unarmed slaves against an Egyptian army in the Red Sea. We go on and on and on in the Word of God, but folks, we see it again today in the scripture that I want to read in 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 16 through 15. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart, turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto thee men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and will not go up to them. But if they say thus, come up to us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand. And this shall be a sign unto us. And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, they're making fun of them right now. Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of those holes which they had hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them unto the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hand and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after them. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within, as it were, a half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. And there was trembling in the host of the field, and among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled. And the earthquake, so it was a very great trembling. 1 Samuel 14:23. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Bethaven. You see, folks, you have to understand the effects of compromise with sin. There was only 600 men willing to fight in this battle. In the battle of life, the enemy would love to put the label of the odds are against us, or it's a long shot, or whatever the enemy would like to put on us, folks. The enemy would love to take authority and prominence and possession over our lives. Satan wants to silence the prayers of the church. He wants to muffle the sound of our praise. Israel was a nation that would not commit to serving God. Their compromise weakened them and made them subject to their enemies. Here was a nation with 2.5 million people, but King Saul can only rally 600 soldiers to fight. Think about that. 2.5 million people, and he could only get 600 soldiers to work with him. Where were the men of Israel? The location of Saul's headquarters was indicative of their morale. You see, the place where they camped was called Migron, which means fear. Hear me today, folks. Saul and his men are camping in fear. Saul and his men had gone from warriors to warriors. They were unarmed. You see, the Israelites with Saul were unarmed. They only had slings and clubs, and there was not a sword or a spear among the people of Israel. In 1 Samuel 13:19, there was no blacksmiths in the land of Israel in those days. The Philistines wouldn't allow them for fear they would make swords and spears of the Hebrews. Hear me what I'm saying. It's just like the enemy when I say he wants to silence your prayers. He wants to take your weapons away from you, folks. Amen. He would not, the Philistines would not even allow a blacksmith in the land for fear that they would make swords and stuff so that the Hebrews could fight them. The devil knows this. The Israelites had allowed the Philistines to disarm them. Disarm means to subdue, to cripple, to debilitate, to disable, to incapacitate, to paralyze, to strip, to subjugate, and weaken. Folks, needless to say, it is a shameful thing to be helpless and unable to defend yourself. Many Christians today have laid aside their weapons. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're human weapons, okay? They're not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. We are talking about the weapons of intercessory prayer. We're talking about the weapons of taking authority over the enemy. Folks, we're talking about standing on the word of God and fighting the good fight of faith. Let me tell you something. Satan is attempting today to disarm the people of God by removing their fires, their forges, not letting them have things, the weapons, the revival, to give them the weapons that they need to fight the enemy. See, the enemy had overwhelming force. The Philistines looked impossible to beat. 3,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen and foot soldiers as the sands of the seashore. And Israel could only muster 600 men without weapons. Isn't this the perfect setup for God to show up and show his power? Come on. Only the faithfulness of God, folks, had kept the Philistines from crushing the tiny Israelite force. Never forget, folks, that the battle in your life, the battle today, belongs to your God. See, Jonathan had some risky faith. The faith of Jonathan was awesome. Jonathan was a believer willing to take risk. I wonder today, is there any apostolics in this church willing to take a risk? When the odds don't look in your way, when the odds do not favor you, I want to know if there's some people here at Church of Pentecost today that are willing to say, I'm going to stand up. Come on. Jonathan was willing to take a risk, to think outside of the box, to step out and give God a try. That's why I like fanatics. Come on. You see, folks, fanatics, it's easier to restrain a fanatic than to raise a corpse. Come on, fanatics, I'll tone you down a little bit if I have to. But it's a lot easier to restrain them than to raise a corpse up. Hear me today, folks. Satan does not own anything. I said Satan does not own anything. He does not own you. He doesn't own your dreams. He doesn't own your promises. He doesn't own your future. Come on. The only way the enemy takes possession of us is if we allow him to. In Romans 13, verse 1, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. You see, Jonathan, he was willing, with only one servant, with only one sword, to fight the entire well-armed army of Philistine army, folks. Jonathan decided, it's time, amen, I'm not going to sit back, amen, it's time to take things back. Jonathan had an eye for divine opportunity. Amen. He believed that his God would be with him. He encouraged to step out by three great truths. Jonathan believed, number one, that God was on his side. Is there anybody here today that believes that God will fight your battles? Do you believe today that God will bless you? Do you believe today that God will use you? You see, the Philistines were uncircumcised, and that is not a covenant in God. And we, too, can be confident because we are in a covenant with our God through Jesus' blood. Jonathan believed in the power of his God. 1 Samuel 14, 6, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. It doesn't matter to God, folks. He'll win your battle if there's just one or two of you. Amen. He'll win your battle no matter if there's 100 of you, whatever it is. It doesn't matter to God if you'll trust him. And that verse goes on to say in 1 Samuel 14, 6, it may be, listen to this, that the Lord will work for us. Revelation, right? Revelation. It's not someone else's, folks. It's God is going to help us. Don't look for help from anybody else. Look to help from your God. We could add one more, amen, in that saying, God is looking for an opportunity to show people that he is God. You see, Jonathan decided to test God's will. Jonathan had the same spirit as Peter. If it's you, Lord, bid me to come on the water. If it's you, Lord, bid me, Lord, to trust and to stand up in this situation and know that God will help me. Amen? See, of course, that is what they would most likely say since they want to keep the high ground, folks. So here Jonathan is looking for them to speak to him. He puts himself in the driver's seat of a miracle and see if God will start the car. Jonathan said, if they tell us to come up to them, he's talking to his armor bearer, if they tell us to come up to him, we'll know that God is calling us to fight. And we know they're going to say, yes, come. Come up here to the high ground. And that was Tanamus saying, when I drop this book, folks, it's like saying, when I drop this book, if it falls, which is gravity, then God is calling me to fight. Right? He says, all right, if they call us up, we know it's God. That's a lot of faith. You see, but there, when you have faith, there's results that come with faith. Amen? Jonathan won a great victory. As Jonathan and his servant went up to the garrison, God gave them success in striking down 20 Philistines in a row. Then God then waded into the battle, and he began to send this earthquake and a panic on the Philistines, which put them in a full-scale retreat. Saul observed this whole army of the Philistines. They begin to run, and chasing this whole army of the Philistines, were two wide-eyed guys, amen, and they're saying, come back here, you cowards. We got more for you. And then even the backsliders. All of a sudden, Saul and all the backsliders, they're over there. And they're seeing this. And they're seeing the Philistines run away from them. They were afraid. They were afraid to step out in faith and trust in their God. And they were afraid to rise up and act like they were a part of the move of God. And they said, hey, let's get involved. See, that's like when some of you step out in faith and begin to come up here worship the Lord, and some of them unbelievers come up behind you too. Come on. They're sitting back and watching you wide-eyed worshipers up here worshiping God. Hey, if God can bless them, he can bless me too. If God can give Asbury College a revival, he can give it to me. Listen to me, folks. I don't care how God does it, as long as you allow God to do it. Come on. It always takes one to step out. It only takes one match to start a forest fire. Come on, folks. I want to know who wants to be the match. Come on. Who wants to step out? Even the backsliders and those in fear began to rise up and act like they were a part of the move of God. They act like, hey, did you see I was up there with Jonathan? You were not. You were back there in a hole. Well, I came around later on. See, listen, God will never be outdone by Satan. You believe that today? I said, God will never be outdone by Satan. Whatever the army does, God will exceed and surpass it. Whatever the enemy does, folks, God's going to outdo it. Amen? Romans 5, verse 20. But where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. I'm telling you, folks, it may look bad out there, and you may shake your head sometimes and say, I don't know where this world is going to, but I'm going to tell you, when you think it's bad, grace is just piling up over here. We, as apostolics, need to introduce them to that grace. Come on. I want to know, is there any apostolics going to introduce your neighbor to the grace of God? Is there any apostolic going to introduce your coworker to the grace of God? How about your family member? Seven times Paul said God would do much more than was necessary. When you read in Isaiah 59, verse 19, it says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them. In 1 John 4, 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome. Hear me what I'm saying. And have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hear me what I said, folks. Notice the verb in this past tense. Have already overcome. We are overcomers. Come on. As long as you stay in Christ, you cannot be beaten. God is looking for a volunteer. God is looking for a person who will take the risk of stepping into an impossible situation and seeing what your God will do. You see, folks, God doesn't need many people. He just needs mighty people. And there's no rule that says God can only deliver by using a big army. God has proven time and time again, it is not quantity, it is quality. One man, David, freed his people with a sling and a rock. One man, Moses, had faith to stretch forth his hand. One woman, Esther, stood up for her people in deliverance. One man, Joseph, endured the pit to get to the palace. Amen. One man, Jesus, went to the cross to save the whole world. All it takes is one. Will you be that person? Will you be that person? You see, folks, Church of Pentecost, let's rise up in prayer. Let's rise up in boldness and restore the kingdom of God to its greatness. Amen. Hallelujah. Will you stand with me today? put the devil under your feet. Overcoming locked gates, tall fences, and snapping dogs presents a challenge for meter readers. I'm sure mailmen. And this person said, we are required to read all meters. No estimates are allowed. And one time a coworker succeeded in getting past a particularly vicious watchdog tied to a chain that was long enough to give him a sway over the entire backyard and driveway. Later, the man was questioned by a supervisor. How were you able to get past that watchdog? The customer wants to know. And the man said, that's easy, boss. I parked on his chain. Folks, let's don't take it off the devil. Let's park on his chain. Will you say, God, give me the heart of Jonathan. God, I want Jonathan's desire to see the enemy overthrown. And I want to participate in a move of God. I want to know today, are you in a battle? And do you need God to work a miracle for you? I want to encourage you, if you're in a battle and you need God to work for you, I want you to come up front. And I want you to raise your hand so that we can begin to pray for you today. Zechariah 4, verse 6 says, so he said to me, this is the word of the Lord, Zerubbabel. It's not by power, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord Almighty. Romans 8, 37, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. 2 Chronicles 20 and 15. Thus saith the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's God. Come on, what kind of need you have today? See, I want you to understand something today, folks. Nothing can stop God from saving when he sets his mind to it. Jonathan remembered the stories of what God did for them in the past. It's time for victory, no matter if the odds seem against you. 1 Samuel 14:11, when the Philistines saw them coming, they shouted, look, the Hebrews are crawling out of their holes. Folks, the enemy will make fun of you. He'll make fun of you when you step out to do things for God. He wants to make fun of you. He wants you to crawl back in your hole. But that's just the beginning. Some of you people need to get victory right now. You see, when Jonathan and his armor bearer won the battle, God sent an earthquake through their camp. Jonathan and his armor bearer killed 20 men, and the Lord honored their faith by sending an earthquake, throwing the enemy into great confusion until they were destroyed. God said, all I need for you to do is step out. Terror and confusion grip the enemy's camp and prepare the way for a great victory of the army of Israel. There's victory today against all odds. I said there's victory today against all odds.